This week on Artist BNB Update, the Spring Fair is back and we run through changes in addition to some Russian influence. Also, a look at the 2018 RuneScape surveys and what surprised us and what didn't. Also, Jagex admits the vocal minority is listened to, perhaps too much. This is RSBNB Update, episode 664, recorded Thursday, March 29th, 2018. Change isn't always good. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Tanis and myself are back this week. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Interesting week this week. You know, we start off with the Spring Fair, which is in itself a fairly innocuous update, I think. You know, there's not too much to complain about regarding the Spring Fair. It's the same fair that was here last year with a few small changes along the way, I think. And, you know, when it comes down to it, do you feel that you are drawn to the Spring Fair this year? Spend time there?
Not after the changes so far.
Okay. What changes are we talking about here?
The XP was decreased a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but even, you know, even saying that, no, not really. Like, I actually thought about getting some bonds for my second account, because I like to do a Spring Fair over there. It's a lot better for, you know, lower leveled characters and stuff, and it still wasn't, I mean, it really wasn't good enough to justify the expense of the bond, so I didn't.
All right. Yeah. You know, one thing that that jumped out to me about this is, you know, in the live stream this week, they started off talking about changes they can make to the fair this year and what they were going to do with the XP. And so you're saying that they did chop the XP down a bit, right?
People complained it was too well. From what I have heard, was Iron Man in particular were complaining it was too high. Then now they're complaining that it's too low. You want to take any bets on what we get next Monday? Because I have no clue.
I think they're going to
be buffed. It could be nerfed.
I think they'll end up putting it to somewhere in the middle. Because I know on the live stream they said that they didn't want to do anything too rash with this, and you know apparently they did, and
yeah,
that might be a bit of an issue. And you know this is here until April 23rd. And if there's not going to be people going there, then that's, you know, that's an issue, because it's something that comes around, you know, every quarter, every half year, give or take. And you want people to go there because it's a social event. And we know how that's mm-hmm. lacking from the social side of the game, you know, for the most part. So.
Well, and they need to use better. Look, I love the events that they have, right? And the rewards they have are cool, and you know I like the events, like those are pretty creative, kind of cool. But what we don't have with this that we had like with the beach is you don't have a reason to have to be there every day. And I know that's kind of daily scape, but the reason that helps is because it draws people so that there is that social interaction. And so I don't know what you do with that. Do you do what they've done and not have that and then sacrifice the social interaction, or do you make it so that there is a better incentive for showing up every day and actually having that potential for people to be there? I mean, it's hard. It's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah. And, I mean, as it is, they already have all the portals at the back, so you can get to, you know, whatever's hot and popping in the rest of the RS world.
Yeah.
So just a bit of a run-through for people who haven't done it yet. There's a number of things you can do there. So there's the fortune teller, who will give you bonus XP stars for the tarot cards that you find while you're doing other activities at the Spring Fair. There's a scavenger hunt where you get given a list of items that you need to go retrieve, and your reward for this will be a medium thieving lamp. There's the Claudia stall, which does not require tokens this year and gives you a daily shot at treasure hunter items. So, for example, I got Royal Battleships with that. Yeah, big deal. I know. Royal Battleships. There's Test of Strength, which, of course, you know, you wing the hammer and away you go, and it hits a little bell and ding, 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 so on and so forth, right? So there's that. The Agility Funhouse, little miniature agility course running around in there. Easter Egg Shy Guy for ranged XP, basically try and knock the Easter eggs down. Twirling Candy Floss for gaining cooking XP. A Dance Floor that gives prayer XP, which has the same mechanics as the Heffen Posts. I don't know why that gives prayer XP. That's a little odd to me.
I don't pray because you got to pray. You don't look like an idiot. I don't I'm not sure.
Bucking Baru gives you defense XP, providing you can hold on to it. When I went there on the first day, it was glitched, the graphics on that, and you couldn't see what was happening. So that was fun. Pickaxe.
That's like my favorite one too.
Okay. Pickaxe weighing, you throw pickaxe and you get mining XP for that. So that's effectively what you can do around the spring fair.
You know, I do want to bring up one thing that I think that they did right.
Okay.
One thing that was changed that I think was good. You don't have to worry about the tickets and stuff anymore.
Yeah, that's good.
And that was a really good change, you know. So if we can get – look, we don't need it to be excessive XP or best XP, but just worth your time XP, then I think we'd be pretty happy. Pretty happy with it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, another change they've also made this year is that all the rewards are, of course, tradable in their token form as they were in the past. But now if you're after a specific reward, you can just go there and pick it up with rune coins.
Which is cool. I mean, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you just after the rewards and you don't want any of the other stuff and you have money to blow, why not, right?
Well, exactly. Do you have your eyes on any of those, Shane?
Well, speaking of that, you know, this year for new reward items, we have the Easter egg hat, the Easter egg pet, a Zoltan plushie, the fish in the bag, the hook a duck flail token. That one's going to be a funny one to see. face paint tokens to paint your face, dizzy stick tokens, and a dizzy stick teleport. And of course, the dizzy stick is that thing that you bend down with your head and you put it on your forehead and you twirl around. You know, I think it would have to probably be a combination of the Easter egg hat and pet tokens, mainly because, you know, there is no Easter event this year, which is kind of disappointing, as we talked about on the show in the past. Beyond that, the fish in the bag is nice, kind of like the bubble blower, from last year's beach event, and the dizzy stick teleport. So, and this brings up the next question regarding the fair and what we were talking about in regards to the XP rates. And that's maybe we're at the point with these fair events where instead of focusing on XP, it's focusing in on the actual tokens.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it could be a lot of RNG there though. And,
yeah, and I mean, nothing is, you know, kind of remotely AFK enough to do there. I mean, I guess the best you could probably hope for would be the dancing ones, the prayer dancing.
That would probably be the closest.
Or the pickaxe wanging, I think, one of those two. Because I don't think you need.
Yeah.
I don't remember that you need to click on the pickaxe wanging to.
You throw. I mean, every once in a while, it's like every couple throws. I think you do, but I mean, you get a little bit of AFK there.
Yeah. Okay. And you know, that's the discussion some were having in the clan chat about this. Is that, you know, you can get the rewards and whatnot, and what's going to be the most AFK way of doing this? So. I think that's a question that most players are having at this point regarding this and given the XP rates. But if the XP rates have been cut, as you say, then, you know, that's a bit of an issue for this. So.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, I don't know why this feels different than some of the other events, like the like the November Fest thing, that felt really fun. Like, even though the XP wasn't that great there.
I think it's atmosphere.
Fun. Yeah, maybe that's it, because it seems different. And I can't quite put my finger on it, because the events seem like they would be fun. It's just, I don't know. It's not the same.
Yeah. And I mean, if they approach this with an Easter event, and, you know, as there's questions about this in the survey, which we'll get to later on this, as to what's most important with these holiday events, and a little bit of a spoiler going forward, it's access to past events and past rewards. So I'm thinking people want something nostalgic around these holiday points with this. And I mean, if that was the case, just look at what we have for or what we could have had for Easter here. So maybe if this was led into with an Easter event, that might have been more appealing.
You know, I think it's just people are into nostalgia, especially right now. Like, old is new, you know? I mean, it's just, I don't know, something about it.
Yeah. Okay, so there's the rewards. I don't think there's much else to say about the fair, unless there's anything at the fair that you want to talk about before we move on. Actually, there's one thing I want to mention, and that's the Mighty Zoltan as a machine. Did you have the audio on did you talk to the Mighty Zoltan? It looks like a machine, and you talk to it, and it doesn't want to be called a machine. And when you talk to it, it uses a Russian accent.
I didn't know that. No, that's.
I don't have the exact thing. Maybe I can open the game quickly here for this. But I mean,
huh. Damn spies.
Right. It's pretty funny. But I mean, it's supposed to be a fortune teller. And the way I understand it is that the player thinks it's a fortune teller, but Zoltan feels that it's not. So let me just log in here and get a sound bite for this, because I think we all need to hear the Mighty Zoltan speak here regarding this. I'm just gonna.
Were they going for like Romanian or something? And
it might have
made
been.
It sound Russian.
It might have been. It might have been. It could very well have been that. And you know, normally I think people don't consider the voice options when they look in game, but this is definitely there and something that we should. Here, because when in the past has RuneScape been about a voicing, right? So
yeah, I mean, I didn't think they did it anymore at all.
I'll go grab that right now, almost here at the fair. What about graphically? I think it's pretty much the exact same graphical version as we had previously, right?
Yeah, I didn't see any difference.
Right. Talk to the Mighty Zoltan.
Cannot address the Mighty Zoltan as a machine.
What should I call
the
you?
The Mighty Zoltan works well, I find. I can tell you a fortune.
I can tell you a fortune.
It sounds like Gustafur, right? Is that who he really is?
Maybe. See. Wait, what? So, so I can find out if I'm destined to be ruler of all? But that's a fortune, right?
Well, yes. I think you used to be about fortunes like that, but something happened.
Oh?
The old cannot quite set up. I'm not sure what caused it. The longer I'm here, the worse they seem to get. But the people in their fortunes seem to be happy to be really sure about it.
Doesn't it bring you down, though?
It's scaring me. I don't know.
It's hard to get any more down than I am.
Would you like a fortune?
Would you like a fortune? except in the text it says, "Would you like a misfortune?"
Oh, wow.
Yes. This activity gives divination XP. Are you sure you wish to continue? Yes, I will get a misfortune. The machine whirs. Machine wobbles a bit. A strange strangled noise comes from the machine. More whirring. A single lonely horn blazes in fanfare. Fortune is spat out of the machine.
Change isn't always good.
Change isn't always good. All fortunes are final and cannot be returned. Terms and conditions apply.
I thought it was going to say something it would be very misfortunate if you said something about Mother Russia.
Change isn't always good. And, you know, this has to be the best part of the fair this year.
Yeah, that's something. Wow.
Oh, boy. Okay, I just had to point that out, because I got a kick out of that. Because, I mean, you're playing RuneScape, and it's a UK-based game. And you don't expect to hear Russian speaking when you start talking to a machine or an NPC.
No, I mean, especially with the current tensions between the two. It's funny. And then you get a fortune that says change is not always good after that election. Wow, that's hilarious.
Well, Putin also was just reelected with 72% of the vote.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because change is not always good. It would be misfortunate if you voted the wrong way.
All righty, I think it is time to move on to patch notes. Comrade Vladimir can talk to us again tomorrow on update. We will see you then. All right, patch notes this week. Okay.
Bunch of these.
Yeah, a bunch of these. So, moving into pieces of hate from last week, if you destroy certain objects during pieces of hate at a specific point in the quest, you're now able to reclaim them. That's good, because you presumably need those to complete the quest.
Yeah.
So, maybe they're referring to Wilson. I didn't
Can
get
you
in.
Destroy Wilson?
I don't know.
That would be.
Gosh. Huh. Anyways, moving on from that, they've also prevented the player from equipping the barrel chest disguise in pieces of hate on certain tiles, so to prevent falling through a wall.
They already had restrictions on that, but.
Yeah.
All right. And don't want to fall through walls.
Yeah. Now moving into other general fixes, the Rimington Crossroads hidey hole has been moved to avoid it being replaced by the circus ticket booth.
That's a good thing.
Hard clue scrolls from pickpocketing now correctly check against your clue scroll toggle setting. The female Guthix wizard defending elite caskets no longer has a male voice. And of course, you know, all the wizards were male in the past, and I didn't even notice they were female at this with the new clues. Did you?
I did not. Maybe she just has a deep voice. I mean,
it is 2018.
Your way to judge.
It is 2018 after all.
Never know.
Fixed an issue that prevented a simple easy clue, an easy emote clue, and an easy map clue from being given during treasure trails. So basically from that sounds like is that it would stop your easy clue scroll right in the tracks. Ensured that all master clues, caskets, and scroll boxes are blocked from disassembly. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to disassemble a clue scroll, I don't think, ever. So, I wonder what kind of components that would have gave.
I was going to say, unless you get fortunate components, then I'd be breaking them down like crazy.
Yeah, definitely. The perform emote option on the Globetrotter shorts now performs the second emote on a medium clue emote if you have already performed the first emote. Okay. Withdrawing items from hidey holes will no longer need you to have an extra inventory space more than required. And one of the JMods involved in this actually tweeted out in that the check for this used a greater than or equal to, or sorry, used a greater than operator instead of a greater than or equal to operator. So, so that was basically
that makes sense.
Making it so that it must have been greater than your current size rather than greater than or equal to. So, basically what that means is if you were at 28, it would have had, if you had a space free, it would have had you check to see if it would have been able to put one in or not, even though you would have had a free spot. So that's a very common programming error and lots of people make it all the time. Fixed an issue where the luck message for receiving a sealed clue scroll could be given even when you were already at your soft cap for that tier of clue. Good. The Prosper perk text now mentions the chance to get a master clue scroll, and that's good. I mean, I guess that gives people more reason to go for Prosper perk now, though. I think we had that inference the second week after the clue scroll update hit.
Yeah.
You can now examine Blue, the clue scroll pet, to see the total number of treasure trails you've completed. And other users examining your pet will show them your total as well.
Yeah, I think that's cool. That's a good addition.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a nice pet, and that's something you're going to get for vanity at the end of the day after you've unlocked everything else. So that's good. It's kind of like how the skill pets show how much XP those people have gotten those skills.
Mm-hmm.
So, deep sea fishing now. A number of changes to deep sea fishing. The duration on the calm sailfish spots have been increased. And, you know, as we were talking about when we did the deep sea fishing episode, it didn't really feel like much difference there, did it?
No, it didn't. So this is actually nice. Very welcome.
Yeah. All encounters are now easier to complete on less populated worlds. And, you know, Jagex initially designed deep sea fishing to be on World 116, the old fishing trawler world. But I think it's only natural that people over time will gravitate back to their own worlds for this. So if you're not on those busy worlds, you're going to have an easier time completing these.
Yeah, it's good, and I think it's hard to do those kind of... It's hard to make, like, a certain world like that when all the clans have different avatars and different, you know, worlds, and you don't want to lose that bonus.
Definitely. And I actually just want to say something here, and, you know, we could talk about this at the end of the show, but I'm going to talk about it right now. The traveling merchant. Very OP. Very OP.
If you can find him. I've never found him yet.
Oh, wow. I've found him numerous times. I got a livid plant the other day for 500 KGP, and that gives you livid farm points. Guess how many livid farm points I got?
How many?
Almost 33,000.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to cry. I missed it.
Yeah. That one's out of rotation at the moment. So today's stock as we're recording this are the island map, a tangled fishbowl, unstable air runes, which of course is for rune span, and a dragonkin lamp.
Okay.
So once again, just highlighting how hilariously OP this is, and you know, that's a discussion we're going to continue to have on this show, is if it's right to bring in, you know, like upwards of 40,000 is apparently the max for the amount of livid farm points you could get from that for 500K.
It's just a one-time little help thing, though.
Yeah, but it's going to come back at some point.
But you only get it once.
Yeah, but
person, remember?
Yeah, yes, but it's going to come back at another point after it restocks, like... At some point
that'd
in the future.
That'd be like years, though. Like a couple years.
The unstable air rune, though, has been up and it's come back before.
But have you... Did you buy it?
No, but from my...
Well, that's why it's back, right?
No, but from my understanding is that they will restock at different times. You can buy it per day. So if the unstable air rune was there today and you buy it, you can buy it again tomorrow if it reappears.
Oh, I thought each person only has could buy each thing one time.
You can buy it once per day.
Oh, okay. Well, I need to get with the world and be watching for when he comes back because Well, maybe we'll just get rid of Livid Farm altogether. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
And, you know, it's already been halved, and this is going a long way to making it easier for people to do. And there's questions about if it's becoming too easy in that regard, and if a phishing update like that should award points in something like Livid Farm. So
nobody likes it anyway. Even the survey that showed the people that already have comp capes are like, yeah, that sucks. You shouldn't have to do that. So, I mean, you know, it's terrible. No one likes Livid Farm.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not farming, right, Shane?
That's right. That's right. That's the main reason I don't like it. Here's another big deep sea fishing one. Your fishing streak when frenzy fishing will now be halved rather than lost entirely if you fail to maintain your streak.
I mean, I think that's awesome, but part of it was kind of like the risk-reward thing.
Exactly.
With, you know, skilling, so.
Yeah. And Jagex has said that, you know, that as it was, frenzy fishing was at the far extreme end of whatever they would ultimately do. So maybe it was felt internally that frenzy fishing was too far. Personally, I liked the way it was. It made it feel very risky, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, going down to zero, if you're upwards up at 200, that's painful.
Oh yeah.
So, I kind of liked it the way it was.
Yeah. I mean, I think it had its, you know, it definitely had its place.
And maybe it's Zoltan.
Yeah, that's right.
Soviet Russia change. Fishing. In Soviet Russia, fish fishes you, fish hard.
Fish.
And here we are. We have just expelled the Russians, and now it's becoming easier.
Yeah, hey. Now we can only half our streak.
And you know, when all else fails, blame the Russians, right? That was the staple in the Cold War. So
what else can you do, you know?
Yeah. The swarm of fish will now grant invention XP on the fishing rod rather than just the rod-o-matic. That's good.
Yeah, that was really good. I saw that patch note, and I'm like, oh, I need to go get my fishing rod because that's what I do.
It'd be interesting to see what you get for XP on that then, where it comes in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to be great, but the great thing is you can use your rod, so maybe the perks are going to be working and stuff, which will be cool. So, I don't know.
Be interesting to see what the transmutation perk does on some of those things.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So, all Squeal of Fortune and Treasure Hunter items that have a use or stats can now be keepsake copied, so you can use them as an override and still keep their abilities. So this would effectively mean things like the Bandos Godsword, the lucky Bandos Godswords, and such.
Okay.
I don't know who uses these, but I mean, it's definitely a good option for leveling up if you get like a Chaotic Rapier or something along the way. Or a lucky Chaotic Rapier.
Yeah, I mean, I have plenty of them, but it's just because I accidentally clicked bank instead of cash out.
Okay. Yeah. And remember back in the day how powerful those chaotic weapons were.
Yeah, they were good. The old Chaotic Maul.
Yep.
Go one item some people out there. They're wieldy.
Small and medium fletching lamps, one on Treasure Hunter, can now be used by free-to-play players, given that fletching was made free-to-play at the tail end of last year.
Yeah.
Long time coming, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's one that lots of people are jumping up and down about in excitement. They added enchanted gem packs to the Slayer store for 75 gold a box, and each box contains 50 enchanted gems with a base stock of 5 boxes, so that gives you 250 total, and they restock at midnight. Now, the reason people are happy about this is because Slayer enchanted rings are a little bit better than, say, a Ring of Sapphire or an Emerald Ring that you can get from your kingdom, and you can disassemble these for precious components.
Yeah, they are, like, the go-to, so I think it's great, and it's going to save a lot of time and a lot of trips.
Yeah, and I mean, people are already doing it, so I mean, why not just provide a better way of doing it? And I don't think it's hurting anything, because as it is right now, the Slayer gems themselves are pretty cheap. So,
well, yeah, I mean, it costs nothing, and the precious components are really, I mean, they're really useful. You use them for a lot of stuff, so I think it's good.
Yeah. Added a skill cape perk icons to the tooltip of the Max and comp capes. So you'll be able to see what perks are on your cape.
See, that's good, because I forget a lot.
How do you see without the tooltip, out of curiosity?
I don't. I forget.
Okay.
Yeah.
See,
the only time I know for sure is like when I know that I should have been dead, but I'm like, why didn't I die? Oh yeah, I got the defense perk on here. Okay. Yeah.
That's good. All right. Buy limits per 4 hours are now displayed for the item being viewed on the Grand Exchange interface, and this is something we have wanted for a long time, ever since the Grand Exchange came out, you know. Explains why sometimes you try and buy something and it fails to buy. So
yeah, that's a long time coming.
Yeah. And some of them could probably be relaxed, I feel.
Yeah.
I know one that's really hard for people is the crystal limit of 2.
Yeah, I mean, they probably... I think they need some relaxing, but at the same time, I don't want to give Mercher Clans more power over the market.
Oh, right. Those exist. Right.
Yeah, they exist.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Friends chats can now be added to a favorite chats menu through the addition of a favorite chats button beside the chat settings button in the friends chat interface. Players can store up to 5 favorite chats within the menu. I just want everyone to take a note of how complicated that sentence is. Friends chats can be added to a favorite chats menu through the addition of a favorite chats button beside the chat settings button in the friends chat interface. In case you are wondering where in the heck this is, you go to that list where you see who is currently in your friends chat, and it's the star at the bottom. I think that would have been easier to say.
Probably, because I'm still trying to process.
Right? You can add favorites by clicking on the star icon when viewing who is currently in your friends chat. And I'd like to take this moment to just remind everyone listening to the podcast that you can favorite up to 5 of them. So you should definitely favorite ours in there, Bits Bytes, and, you know, join that sometimes and come visit us while you're playing. I've been encouraging people to do that all week, and I've actually seen more people in chat that I don't know this week because of that. So I think that's a success.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you really want to see where this is, and you're watching the YouTube version right now, it's just the gold star, and you can have up to 5 of them. And, you know, for some reason, probably a narcissistic reason, I put all 5 of them as Bits Bytes on mine.
Well, it's actually, I mean, this is actually really good because you don't have to type in every single time, like leave a friends chat, go into a new one, all that, because there's some that you need like you need the the Vithwax one.
Yeah, Soul Obelisks would be another one if you're doing
Soul
that.
Obelisk and portables if you're doing portable worlds. So this is actually really cool. It's a nice little update. It's just really convoluted the way I explained it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's right there, and I mean, anytime you're viewing who's in a friends chat, you just click the star button and you'll have it. So, moving on from that, players can now quick chat to public, friends, group, clan, and guest clans if they've obtained various skilling pets. As a guess, a way of confirming that. Runed fishing urns can now be stored as a stack within the tackle box, and they can store up to 4, 6, 8, 12, and 15 per stack, depending on the tackle box level. That's good, I think. It just solidifies all the fishing stuff that we've seen be added to the game, and putting the urns in the tackle box makes sense, I think. So that's good. The coal bag, gem bag, Enhanced Gem Bag and Spirit Gem Bag can now be used on a bank deposit box to empty its content directly into the bank. And, you know, I have to feel that this patch note did come from the mining and smithing rework, kind of being influenced by that a bit. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Updated the Slayer counter with an extra tooltip that tells you if you have yet to capture the soul as part of the Slayer Codex of the creature you're fighting.
I love that. That is great.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess for you, if you're just looking at your Slayer counter and you mouse over it, you're going to see all that information right there with your screen magnifier.
Yep. So it's great. I love it.
Good. And now an option has been added to switch the Slayer counter into a Reaper counter by right-clicking on the icon. This will display all the information that the Slayer counter does, but for Reaper tasks. Additionally, a tooltip over the kills remaining has also been added.
See, so that's really cool, too. Like, those two patch notes are really cool.
Yeah, they're big. I don't know if they're the biggest one this week. I think probably the biggest one this week is going to be the deep sea fishing streaks being halved, and the enchanted gems for Slayer.
Yeah, some of these are almost like ninja fixes.
Well, yeah, that's the section they did come in from.
Oh, okay. And, okay. There
we go. Yeah. And that's a question. Maybe when we're doing these, we should start segmenting them into the sections Jagex do, because normally I just grab everything and run with it. So.
Okay. That makes sense then.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, 2018 content survey. Yeah.
That's why democracy doesn't work all the time.
Okay, so we're having some various different feelings on this then, because
yeah.
I feel as though I am not surprised at all by the survey results.
I'm shocked because I've always felt like I'm pretty average. So what I would want would be like what most people would want. And it turns out that is not the case. And I can't believe some of the results, at least on the scaling section. Some of the other stuff doesn't seem as shocking to me, but man, the scaling part just blows my mind. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, and that's what this started with. So we're going to run through this as quickly as almost Jagex did, because we're not going to be here for an hour and a half like they were with this, because that would just be insane. So the top 10 skilling updates, we'll go through some of them after I run through them here. Number one, Master Skill Cape perks. Number two, Farming Update, Raise Animals. Number three, Agility Overhaul. Number four, Players a Slayer Master. Number five, more Dungeoneering resource dungeons. Number six, Hunter Elite Skilling Outfit. Number seven, Skilling Raids or Encounters. Number eight, Impling Revival. Number nine, Pickpocketing Summoners. And number 10, Skilling Godbooks.
Two. There is two on there that I agree with.
Okay.
Two out of 10, 20%. That's... I can't believe it. Of course, the farming is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it.
They have already said they are doing this one.
Yes. Yes. And that's good. That's good. Because this is like the second time now, right? That it's came up. They said it came in high.
Yeah, like this year and last year. And Shane is very happy about this at the moment.
I'm sure. Well, and the way they're talking is like giving us a farm. Like, I'm like, oh, give us a farm. That would be so cool. Like, we could have allotments and herb patches and then places for like the animals. Like, I'm looking at like RuneScape Farmville here. Like, yes, you know, like, let's do this. That would be great. So yeah. That's cool.
Modraven has already put out two straw polls on this. Should you slaughter animals in the player-owned farm? I said yes. Let me butcher them.
Of course.
Yeah.
For sure.
People are voting no, 56%. But this is only 128 votes, so it's a small sample size. And then...
Jeez.
What should the ultimate goal for the farm be? 80 votes for XP. 25% say resources, 23% say GP, and 20% say rewards. It needs to be XP, because herb farming is already a moneymaker right into farming. And the only way herb farming will cease to be a moneymaker is if we get another source of herbs in game, and we know Jagex is going to stop dropping herbs from all future Slayer creatures and boss creatures that come out. So herbs are going to be from farming primarily. So what were you thinking on the farm update here, essentially?
I would like to see, I think it needs to incorporate three things, and one of them they didn't even list. Resources has to be part of this, and of course XP has to be part of this. I don't think either one of those things needs to be the top or the best, because what I would like, the third leg of the stool, I think that is the most important, is convenience. Bringing everything together in one spot, and let us be like creative and have fun. That's how I look at it anyway. Because we already have alternative ways that is going to be like the best way of doing X, Y, or Z. So this is just bringing it together, right? And making it, giving us something to do with it, kind of thing. Make this be my POH. I'll move into the barn, you know, whatever.
And it'll be on the surface world. It's not going to be in the actual yeah. house. And this yeah. is, I guess, the way they could go for construction in the future.
Yeah, you know, that would be cool. And if you don't want us to slaughter our own animals, can we at least go to our friend's farms and slaughter theirs?
yeah, that'd be something. And I think, you know, I think slaughtering is part of farming.
Yeah, it's called ranching.
There you go.
You know what I mean, like, come on. It could be humane. It could be like free range or something. We already have a slaughter pen. Yeah. It's called the yak pen up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're gonna slaughter them in the halal fashion, which is utterly gruesome.
Well, right. I mean, we could probably go down to Lumbridge right now and see somebody whacking a chicken over the head. I mean, come on, like,
yeah,
we killed cows to begin with to get started in this game, right?
Yeah. So what's the big
what
deal?
Does it matter?
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is happening. They're going to be bringing on a Discord server for this, as well as forum threads. So that's going to be really interesting. I hope it doesn't run away from them in that regard.
It's totally going to run away from them. And that being said, let me put my want out there right now. Give me alpacas. I want to farm some alpacas.
Okay. I don't want to talk too much about what's happening here with this, because it's, you know, at a very early stage and whatnot, so it's not going to be out for a while, and you know, we got to go through the design process on this. It's going to be Mod Raven and Mod Roly who are doing this, and they're the ones who did Pieces of Hate as well, so you know, you can always expect quality with them. So that was number two. That's happening.
Yeah, now, and we'll have plenty of time to go over that in the future.
Okay, Master Skill Cape perks. I totally anticipated this would be on this list. I didn't vote for this. I put this at the very bottom of my list, but I totally anticipated it would be here based on the way the players are.
I didn't. And if it was, like, not at the top, maybe towards the bottom, there's some that it could have taken the place of, for sure. I thought it would be 120 max would be on this list, but that's on the other list.
Yeah,
like that blows my mind.
And that adds to the next question here. And you know, this was talked about, and it was asked numerous times by Modishan, and give him credit for doing this in the live stream. The question was: does every skill then become a 120 skill with having a perk at level 120? And ultimately,
a good question.
Yeah, and you know, if this were to be acknowledged, it would have been with the 120 cape, Mod Timbo said. But Jagex is effectively acknowledging that, hey, you have enough XP for 120. Let's just give you something for it. And when Shawnee asked again, does Jagex want players to get 120? The answer from Timbo was there should be a reward for getting to level 120. So this in itself, and this little exchange that these two had here, is in effect confirmation that skills have gone to 120 in all but actual name and content.
And which, content, yeah, that's what they're trying
right,
to draw.
And now let's just think about that for a moment. This effectively confirms that skills now go to 120 when this update comes out, if they do it. And, you know, everything else on these lists here, these top 10 lists and the bottom list, have not been confirmed. The only thing that has been confirmed is the farming update.
And they were sure to express that. I don't think this will happen because of that reason.
Yeah.
Because I think they politicianed the shit out of that answer with us. They did.
They did. And I mean, as soon as I saw the question being asked and the fact that Jagex had no real answer to this, that's when I started getting worried here with this. Because by putting these in, they would automatically confirm that skills go to 120. Yes, we have 120 master capes right now, but they're largely just cosmetic. They do the same things as the 99 capes. Yeah. But by putting a perk there, that means there's now a milestone at level 120. And all skills have been extended to 120 with virtual leveling. If this comes out, big emphasis on if, without actual content in between. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, how that's a hilariously bad way of doing things.
Yep. And now, that's why I don't think it will happen.
Yeah, they're going to need to find another way for this. Now, Sirion did our notes for this segment of the show, so you can thank him for this. One of his side notes was that there's an argument that by giving a mechanical benefit, all skills essentially become 120, but the J-Mods don't think that's the case. So, you know, even he noticed that, okay, they say one thing, but they don't think that's the case at the same time. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah, well, but they had to talk out of each side. That was, I mean, it was funny to watch them squirm a little bit on that one. Yeah. I don't know where I come down on that. I think I'd rather have the content before the perk.
Oh, definitely.
I mean,
definitely.
I was indifferent, really, on the perks anyway. I'd much rather see someone that, I mean, I would have much rather seen a 120 max cape than the perks. And that really just blows my mind.
I put the 120 max cape at number one at the very bottom of my list. All right.
Yeah,
agility overhaul.
What were people thinking?
I don't know. You know, I think the reason I see this is that as an important thing is because agility as it is right now is only really useful for shortcuts. And the way they say this would work is it would be additive to the skill. It wouldn't be a complete overhaul like mining and smithing. It would be very much like the clue scroll overhaul type of update. They would add course distractions and diversions, new training methods, and new rewards along the way. So it wouldn't be completely re-engineering the way agility works.
But see, this is what I don't understand. I know maybe one person the whole time I've ever played that if you asked what their favorite skill is, they would say agility. Nobody I know likes agility. Everyone hates training.
Well, there's even more reason to do this update then.
Why? We're already 99. Throw on some Silverhawk shoes, man.
It needs to be engaging to people who are leveling up.
No. It sucks, and you need to have it suck just as much as we did.
No.
No, I know. But what you got, I mean, there's out of all the other stuff that could have been so much more beneficial, like, just agility? Really? It should have been construction.
Well, what good is it aside from shortcuts? That's why something
needs
to be added.
It's not, but no.
Exactly.
But no one's asking for a fire-making rework. I mean, what good is that?
Getting a fire-making update next month.
Well, you go figure. True that. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll talk more about this when it comes, if it does. Player is a Slayer Master.
Yes, that's the only other
surprise for me.
Yeah.
Dungeoneering Resource Dungeons, once again, no surprise for me, because as it is right now, Dungeoneering looks like just confined to Daemonheim, and that's about it.
Once again, though, why? Why? Do you need a special spot to go cut some more magic trees? Like, I don't get it. What is going to be in the resource dungeon?
It could be for something new in the new gathering skill that was being teased, potentially.
We better not get a new skill anytime soon. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't agree with any of this.
I can honestly say I knew the community was going to go with this. I agree with everything on this top list except for the 120 perks.
Yeah, you're, I guess, a better judge than I am. I really thought people, like I do, and they don't.
You know, we're not going to go through all of these. Hunter Elite Skilling Outfit, okay, that makes sense. Skilling Raids and Encounters, I still don't know what those are.
What's that mean? Exactly. What does that mean?
Impling Revival.
Oh, my God. Shoot me now.
I mean, okay. Maybe.
Impling Revival? Really? Implings? Like...
Well, you heard me last week. I was doing the quest and I pickpocketed I got one of them unintentionally, yeah. And I got two of those keys, and I had no idea where it came from. And it was two keys from a magpie impling, and I'm level 99 hunter, which is rather deplorable when you think about it.
It's just why? I mean, do people not understand? By picking that, you're basically saying I want that over something else that would be better. And good.
Okay.
Like, I don't know.
Number 9 was pickpocketing summoners, and number 10 was skill in god books. I can understand both of those.
Who are summoners? We're pickpocketing.
Well, the way I understand this update is that it would have been an update to the summoning skill tying in together with thieving, kind of adding a bit of depth to summoning.
I mean...
And summoning right now is, by many people's definitions, the great pouch-making skill. And with something being the great pouch-making skill, people want content added to it.
Yeah, but don't we already pickpocket summoners over there in Amclaw?
Yeah, but they're not official summoners. They're just elves who are adept at summoning.
Oh, okay. <That's>...
See, right. I got an answer to each one of these, Tannis. Number 10 was skill in god books. Which, I mean, when you think about it, yeah, because everything in the pocket slot right now is effectively combat-based, so why not, right?
Yeah, though I don't know what gods are going to represent skills and stuff. I mean, that's, like, what god is, like, a god of crafting and creativity, or, you know what I mean? Like
Saren.
That's... Okay, that actually would make sense. And then what, we have bandos for like smithing?
Strength.
Something maybe, strength. But yeah, I don't know, but it's cool.
Yeah, Zamorak for dungeoneering, of course, and thieving, so.
Yeah.
Or maybe Zaros for thieving, I don't know, depending. All right, now on to the bottom 10. Extreme skilling, so that's what we see with frenzy fishing, of course. An aquarium-like idea for hunter. Ports 4 expansion, high-level Brimhaven Agility Arena, the POH Treasury, changes and expansion of the Menophos Reputation System, 120 max cape, milestone capes above 90, a two-player agility course, and dungeoneering races.
See, to me, it's like 50-50. Like, some of them are exactly what I think.
Yeah, I thought the players were going to go terrible for the ports rework, but, you know, in hindsight, ports as it is right now is very expansive, so I can see why that's not interested in being expanded out on at all. And I think what changed the reason for the Hunter one, for your POH to not be tied in, is because they called it an aquarium-like area for Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that might have messed it up. But
I don't know if you remember.
Both POH things are on the bottom 10.
Well, here's why they're on the bottom list. You want to know why they're on the bottom list?
I would love to hear why.
Okay.
Because I totally don't agree with them.
in regards to the aquarium like idea for Hunter, Jagex poisoned himself by mentioning the aquarium, because when the aquarium came out, I don't know if you remember this or if you did it on launch, but when the aquarium came out in the first week or couple weeks after it was launched, everyone was fishing and everyone was burning themselves out by fishing salmon at the Shiloh Village River to try and get, you know, the various fish eggs and whatnot. And people look at the Hunter skill, what they have right now, and they see things like tracking kebbets and whatnot, which you did, I think, at level 3 or level 10 Hunter, which, I mean, who wants to go back there to find a kebbet to put into an aquarium-like idea for Hunter?
Yeah.
So true. They poisoned themselves by mentioning that it would be like the aquarium on that one. Now, when it comes to POH Treasury, I think that at this point in the game, you know, I normally wouldn't have said this, but I think at this point in the game, there is a certain disdain towards the people who are insanely rich with, you know, the stacks of party hats and the stacks of all the rares. And I'm not talking about, you know, the casual people who have accumulated, you know, the 2.1 billion max cash stack over time. Because let's be real here, 2.1 billion cash stack today is not rich in RS. It's not.
No.
And we just have to look back to the wishing well with the deep sea fishing update to see how much money people are willing to throw away on this. So if you could imagine a POH treasury, that would be like taking your wishing well and expanding it to a factor of 10. And would people really want something like that as a gold sinking game when construction is already sinking enough gold as it is?
Yeah.
So that's why I think that one was there. I think if you would have yanked these two updates from this list and put in construction rework, not construction rework, because the player-owned farm is presumably going to be tied in with construction on the surface. So if you just put in player-owned house rework, that would have been in the top 10. I think that's what killed these two.
And I'm going to say that I think you're right. And in all reality, I voted for both of those just because they were construction related. I could have cared less what they were related to as long as it was construction. Because I felt like that would just show that we wanted it. And in fact, we got the exact opposite.
So, yeah, definitely. Let's see. Any others on here that we want to point questions to?
I'm not surprised by the Dungeoneering races.
Yeah, definitely. Or the two-player agility course.
Yeah, so that didn't surprise me at all. I am surprised about the 120 max cape. I really think people that have achieved that should have that. They don't need to do anything but add some colored smoke to a max cape. You know, I mean, whatever the collar on your prominent collar of your max cape is, you can have that collar smoke. Like, I just...
But at the same time...
That's sad to me.
In doing that, we're in the same position where we are saying that skills are now going to 120.
But that's cosmetic. It's no different than what we already have. Cosmetic capes with 120 capes. I'm not talking about any perks. There's no tangible thing. It's just, hey, I've worked my butt off and earned the right to look cool.
Well, maybe comp cape is enough for people. And that's
maybe.
And that's where we're going to go next, actually. 38,000 people answered this question, roughly. Do you own any version of the comp cape? 30,000 do not have the comp cape.
It's a hard cape to get.
It definitely is. And they're only going over the yes answers of these here. So what was the main factor by achieving your comp cape? Number one, sense of achievement. Number two, the stats. Number three, the teleports and effects. Four, appearance. Five, prestige. Or six, you had nothing else to do in game. I think that's fairly obvious. Prestige.
Mm-hmm.
And sense of achievement up there. There's nothing really that, you know, raises any alarm bells with that one.
No, and it's best in slot for the elite you know, PVM crowd.
Yeah.
You have to have your comp cape because it's best in slot.
Yeah. Now, what were the top 10 frustrating achievements? Number one, live at farm. Number two,
they hate it.
defeat every boss at least once. Number three, complete at least one of the Ports Trio voyages. I've done that. Other included the Mage Training Arena, Castle Wars, RNG-based activities. Number five, increase all skills to 99. What?
Yeah, that one doesn't make any sense to me because, I mean, that to me is the whole, yeah, no. That one doesn't make any sense, but yeah, let's just get rid of Livid, cut that one out, and let's cut the Reaper out, and let's cut the Mage Training Arena out, because, yeah, those all suck.
Number six, earn the famous title by completing Morrigan Slayer Challenge.
Yeah, that sucks, too. Let's cut that one, too.
Yeah, collect one of each Impling. I've done that.
I've done that, but it was not enjoyable.
Purchase the first tier of rewards from the Wyco Reward Shop.
I think that's okay.
Complete all quests.
No, you got to for comp. Come on.
Yeah, it's basically a quest.
That's completing the game. You got to complete the lore.
And the 10th most annoying one was unlocking all music tracks.
That is annoying.
But it's just running around to various areas or doing a couple things to trigger them.
I think it's annoying for people, though, because every time some new event, got to go do it. I think that's what makes it so annoying.
And there's a thousand.
I mean, there's 1,000 tracks, man. Like, it's a lot, or however many.
I'm over 1,000 over, yeah, out of 1,124, however many there are right now.
Wow. See, that's cool. I don't even know where I'm at, but it would take me probably a week just working on tracks to do that.
So, yeah, some of these are surprising, but I mean, Livid Farm, defeat every boss at least once, those are there. They did say that they are looking at ones like the boss one and whatnot, but they're not going to say anything right now. I can definitely understand why the Trio Voyage is annoying on ports.
Yeah, well, it's such a time sink, and there is the RNG element. You have to wait for it to come up, and then you might fail it. I mean, it could happen. So, yeah, and especially if you have everything else done and you're just waiting on that, you know, I can see why that's a pain.
Okay. Now let's talk about what people enjoy about the comp cape and what they enjoyed completing when they were doing it. So, what do you think was the most enjoyable?
Well, I would have thought that getting all your skills to 99 was the most enjoyable. That was on the other list.
Okay.
So I don't know.
But it's also here. Number one, complete all quests. Number two, increase all skills to 99.
Okay.
Number three, complete all tasks. Number four, defeat every boss at least once. Number five, complete all arc mini quests. Number six, the fight kiln. Number seven, the music tracks. Number eight, the famous. The Trio Ports Voyages. And purchase the first tier of Wyco Reward Shop. So these are all here, except what? They're just in a different order.
But notice the ones that are not there. No Livid Farm.
Yeah.
No one thinks that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And Mage Training Area is not there. So.
Yeah. Now, how do you feel if a game update comes out with a new completionist cape requirement? The vast majority of people here are indifferent in the same way that, you know, has been surprisingly put out here. It's effectively a bell curve. Shawnee feels that this is the vocal minority speaking who have comp capes here because they're have this. But we'll talk more about that later.
You know, that's my 100% my experience too, because like I have a lot of friends with comp capes, and really they just want to know, is the update this week? Did it take away the cape? And if so, how we get it back? But I've never seen anyone like grumble. Well, except for Menophos, pissy over that one. But
we had an amnesty for that though.
I know, but people were rushing out the gates, trying to get all that. But it was so big that they still freaked. So, yeah.
All right. So now we're going to move into some general questions pertaining to skilling and the way skills should work in game. So would you be interested in high GP but high intensity in training, or high XP but high intensity training as well? The answer was yes for both of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what we've been talking about. That's what we want. We want diversity in skills and skilling methods, and that makes perfect sense.
I would love for high GP and high intensity to come out. And yeah, high XP and high intensity. So
yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, we're on pace with the community here. I was really on that first list so far that kind of threw you for a loop, but I felt that was what we were going to see. Okay. Now, here's something we talked about a lot on this question when we were dealing with the game. Is it complicated to know the optimal setup for skilling? This skewed towards complicated heavily. Though it wasn't said if people enjoyed this complexity.
And they are two very different questions. And I think it also depends on what kind of communities you personally are in. Because, yes, for the absolute best, most optimal setup, it is kind of complicated. And some items are very niche, and you need to be in certain discords to know the best setup for each thing. But for an average player, I don't think it's all that complicated. You got a skilling outfit, an avatar, a juju potion if you need it for whatever skill, and off you go.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, they didn't also talk about the UI stuff on here, but I'm guessing that was more for another day. But we'll talk about that later. Now, how important is it that skills have an overload benefit? Very important, and important, taking the majority vote here.
I was happy to see that.
18,000 votes out of 29,000.
Yeah, how happy was you to see that, Shane?
Very happy, very happy. And, you know, it just shows that you can now have exclusive pieces of content in those skills that are for you and you need to earn to train. So that's good.
Yeah, the most surprising part of that was that I didn't know that they were avoiding that before. Like, they had an in-house philosophy of avoiding that. I'm going, why?
Like, right. And, you know, they mentioned the reaction when overloads and extreme pots first came out, and I actually remember that, is that many in the PVM community at the time, though it wasn't as big as it was now, were ultimately concerned about getting 96 Herblar. So, you know, there were concerns back then, and I think that probably put them off, but this, you know, smashes right through that.
Mm-hmm.
So, happy. Good. Now, which of these is the most important to you? Well, skilling. Did this surprise you?
A little.
Yeah. XP per hour, followed by rewards, then how AFK it is, then GP per hour, then other, which included social and fun elements, and then how convenient it is to access and whether you can train other skills at the same time or at the bottom.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would have thought the GP might have been.
Yeah, me too. I definitely rated this one high for GP.
Yeah, I mean, I did too.
Because how many times have we talked about a skilling needing to catch up with combat?
Yeah, well, it exactly. And it did kind of add to that narrative of the, you know, RuneScape, skilling, AFK, that's all we care about. And I just don't think that's the case. But, meh.
And
what
hey,
I mean,
if it's high XP per hour, it could also be high intensity.
Yeah. Yeah, then that's, you know, that's okay. I'm the first, like, probably the first two or three doesn't surprise me, but I can't believe that GP wasn't higher.
Yeah, same. All right. Next up, if you have 99 as skill, do you continue to train it? 50-50 split effectively on yes and no. Of the people who answered this question, around 5,500 or so do not have 99 in a skill.
But what a minority.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
Like, that is a super small,
and
you know.
They did also say selection bias on this, and that, of course, means that the people who are more likely to do the survey are going to be more engaged with the game, and the more engaged you are with the game, the higher chance it is that you'll have a 99.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, now comes everyone's favorite elite skills.
Oh, boy.
Surprisingly, people like them and really
like
them.
Yeah, I was wrong on that one, too.
Bell curve. This surprised me. I said dislike them because right now, aside from the integration of invention and the requirements to access invention, I don't see the point of it being an elite skill.
I don't see the point of it. And here's the thing that I feel like, did people forget what invention was when it came out? Because it sucked. Like, yeah, it's cool now, but how long did it take to get cool? I would say it wasn't finished till what? Unfinished Business, the fall of last year? So, I don't know.
Right, and that could have colored people's opinions as well, and even mine. And I will freely admit that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it would depend what the next elite skill would look like, because, I mean, what is invention right now that could not be done in a non-elite skill?
I mean, it's got a nice cross-section of stuff, but like that, I don't know, that is now, and some of those items, like, I don't think we would have the same kind of things that we have within invention, but you could have like a top tier item in each skill, like we were talking about with
overloads. Definitely.
You know, and that could definitely be something we see in invention right now. I just don't think we would have the big catalog of stuff that we have available to us.
Yeah. Elite skills. I'm sorry, we just did that one. What kind of skill would you like the next skill to be? Now, fairly even distribution here. Gathering and combat are slightly ahead of the others, and tracking is behind, very far back. Tracking a current activity, like a clue scroll skill, for example, is at the very bottom. Jagex was perturbed by this because they need to say, okay, what is a gathering skill that we can add to game? What would be gathered?
Mm-hmm.
And what would you guys like for a new combat skill? So they were very perturbed by this.
Well, and I got the same kind of like questions. I think easier to come up with, but like, what kind of new combat skill? I mean, what? I can't think of anything. Maybe I'm not thinking outside the box enough for that, but I can't come up with a new combat skill at all. Gathering, you could do something.
We could make
quest
something
related.
Work. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it would have to be a production skill. Just because the last gathering skill was divination that was put into game because of the residual energy from Guthix dying and whatnot. So there was a reason to put that in, but
we could always kill another god. Yeah.
But that's different because it wouldn't work like that because Guthix was intertwined in the world because of the edicts and whatnot. And when he died, that energy released. So that doesn't exist.
Well, think about this.
Gods currently.
We could tie in with the finale of the six stage storyline with the elder gods by gathering something that was draining the gods so that they don't kill us all. I don't know what we'll use it for, but we could tie it in with some, you know, some bigger storylines. To try to keep them asleep, you know?
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I don't know. Something. I feel like it has to come with story. Or it's just
Of note, third on the list was new behavior, so that would be something like Dungeoneering.
No, thank you.
And we talked about this when Menafos came out. The last groundbreaking thing that Jagex did prior to an expansion was Dungeoneering. Like, that completely broke the mold, and nothing like it was in-game before. Dungeoneering.
Yeah.
So, everything else has kind of pulled on elements that were already in-game, just a little bit different. So, production was second last. Hybrid would include both gathering and production. Hard to say, really. Hard to say. Next question was, do you think the next skill should be a 120? This is effectively a 50-50 split between yes and no. But a good number of people, around 7,000, said no opinion on this. So Jagex said, hey, maybe we'll toss a coin.
Yeah. I say no just because I don't want
I say no as well.
XP curve again.
Well, no, that was the elite skill curve.
Yeah, well, I don't want to give him any ideas. I don't want that.
All right. Now, would you like to be told about a new skill when it's being developed? This question pleased me. The plurality of people said at the concept stage, so that's when they're getting it ready. So that would be the earliest point. Second was surprise, and that's how construction was released. Third place was the design stage, where they're designing it. That's like PRIF, you would get design documents. And the fourth was when it's being built. Jagex says they're likely to use a hybrid approach here.
Yeah. I want to know as early as
okay.
agree with it or not. Now, I don't... When it comes to skill, yeah, actually... Yeah, no, I'm going. I'm sticking with that when it comes to a skill. I think it's different for different kinds of content, and a skill is like some of the biggest content, and we really need to know what that's going to entail.
I voted for surprise. There was nothing like waking up in the morning before going to school and saying, "Holy crap, construction just came out. Oh boy, I'm going to have a busy weekend." From the RSBNB side of things. And that was truly great. We just got the tip that there were going to be sittable chairs and clockwork cats at the end of the month. And, you know, we didn't know anything beyond that. And I would truly love for them to do this at least just once more. I know people would probably hate it, but I would just be overjoyed if, you know, in June this year, we turned it on. I'm not saying this is happening because it's not. If we just turned on RS and, whoa, new skill.
But what if it was a skill that you hated? What if it's Dungeoneering again?
But that's the thing. That's the thing. We got to get back to a point where Jagex could exercise their creative license to recreate updates. Or sorry, not recreate updates. To create updates that the players are just going to like right off the bat. And imagine if they pulled off a surprise skill and it was liked. How much of a trust builder and a confidence booster would that be for both Jagex and the player base?
Not right now. Not this year. They have to rebuild, right?
Well, we know this. We know it won't be coming this year because they're not working on it right now. So, I mean, that's good then. Next year, then.
I know, but what if you woke up and you found out, oh, there's a new skill here. It's called Chronicle, and it's based on how good you play cards in-game. So now you need to start playing. Oh, and here's a kicker. You also need to have a buddy because you can't train this on your
own. But that's likely not going to happen because...
I'm just saying. It's a surprise.
But they're not good. That's a horrible analogy because you cannot tie Chronicle to RS because people's computers might not be able to play Chronicle. And at the same point, you can't tie in...
Oh, no, not another game. This is a new version within the RuneScape, within our world here, within our game. Saying just call it that.
Well, then we got to give it a go.
Come up with a new card game.
We got to give it a go and see what happens.
I don't know. I think you wouldn't like it.
I honestly think there's a higher chance than not that if they did this, it would be successful given what they know today.
What if they put a MOBA within RuneScape and called that a new?
I think that would be the best thing that they've done since EOC, and it should have been what should have been done since EOC.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Because you would have to produce that with the understanding that there's going to be no tick system in this MOBA. And,
yeah, you're probably right
about
that.
Just how people love doing combat, they're going to be able to take what they know about EOC and expand it out further.
Oh, it would to do things. That actually would be
That's
good.
Actually a really good idea. You could have you could have the next version of Slayer with that.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good idea for a skill, believe it or not. I know people aren't going to like it, but it's really good.
Yeah, I think we need to know, but
I will say this, if we are going to know, it needs to be at the design stage, not at the concept stage where it's earliest, like most people want. I think Prif was executed just fine at the design stage, so.
But we got a choice on whether we wanted Prif or if we wanted Invention.
Yeah, but we weren't asked about, you know, how it should work inside of it. You know, we didn't know at the time that it was going to be the, you know, the hub for the highest levels of
power. Oh, I don't care about the inner workings or how it's
okay.
going to be done.
So if we don't care about the inner workings, then the design stage would be adequate. Because
that's
the concept
designing
stage,
all the stuff, right?
Yes, but the concept stage, effectively, what the concept stage is that's when they're talking about. Is this going to be for high levels? Is this going to be for low levels? Is this going to be high intensity? Is this going to be something that, like deep sea fishing, is going to be reforming the way the skill works? Or is it going to be an add-on to the skill? So effectively, you can imagine that you can effectively imagine the concept stage as like you know that white box preview that we got of the deep sea fishing area at RuneFest?
Mm-hmm.
That's concept stage.
Okay.
Design stage is Prif, where you're talking about what kind of XP is this going to give? How much XP is it going to give? So on and so forth.
Okay. Well, I just want to know, like, if they come out and they say, okay, the next skill, we're going to go with Necromancy. I want to be like, yeah, maybe not.
Well, if they said we're going to be at Necromancy, they would effectively be bringing us in at the design stage because it would be unfair to ask players to design a Necromancy skill.
Well, I know, but once we're at the design stage, it's already been decided.
Yeah, it has.
That's what I want a little bit of input on, because maybe we want archaeology instead. Maybe we want sailing, or maybe we don't want sailing. Like, I don't know. That's the part that I get hung up on.
Though with this being said, they're likely to ask players for concepts on the forums or something and then bring them in at the design phase. So that works.
Yeah.
Next up, combat top updates. Jagex was happily surprised that weapon diversity was at the top of this list. Next up was Abyssal Monsters, Prayer Training via Combat, and I found that one a bit perplexing myself. A solo Abyssal boss, new dragon types, two-player boss, Pest Control 2, two-player fight kill in waves, free-to-play boss, seasonal Darkscape was at the bottom, Floor 61 is a raid, bottom, Dungeon Master, bottom, and Castle Wars 2, bottom.
But the Darkscape was really passionate.
Yeah, and that's what they said. There was a good number of people who voted 1 and a good number of people who voted 5 on that. So
either loved it or you hated it.
And, you know, I think after Dimension of the Damned, they got to take stock of what happened with that.
Yeah, Mod Shawnee had a really good point, though, that if you pulled Dead Man mode or something, you would have had the same kind of very likely the same result.
Yeah.
So, but what I am happy to see is something we've talked about on the show many times.
Weapon diversity. Yep.
Yeah. So that's good.
It's almost like we're having an influence on the wider RS community.
Almost, right?
Yeah. Now, what combat mode do you use? The majority of people use Revolution with a significant amount. on full manual. Very few people are using Legacy.
Woohoo!
Finally.
And a number of people don't know.
That might be a sign that your interface is too complicated.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the next question, which, you know, is an even split, and we talked about with the mining and smithing update, but gives credence to pushing ahead with that. How should gear be introduced into the game? Number one, dropped in full, ready to use, which has been the way forever. Dropped components to use with a non-combat skill was second. And third was to add on to a previous tier. But with that being said, the dropped in full and dropped components were within 2,000 votes of each other. So that's very close.
These were all really close together, and I thought that, you know, there's nothing that says they couldn't be all of them, that we couldn't incorporate all of these things. I don't know. I don't feel like it needs to be like either or.
Yeah, and that's good. Now, this next question was a little bit surprising to me. I would have thought people wanted to see something done on this, but what would you prefer be done to accuracy and defense? Number one, current system with the chance to miss. Number two, remove missing entirely. Defense provides damage reduction while accuracy counters defense. Number three was the current system, but with reduced cooldowns. And number four was deal reduced damage when you miss. I was expecting that one to shoot all the way up because people want more damage, but it was dead last.
Yeah, I thought it would be the most, you know, the simplest would win. But I think this is a case of the devil, you know. And
yeah,
since,
especially with combat and accuracy systems, you don't want to change that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the main takeaway from this is that people would want something to change in the system compared to people who just want to leave it is. There's more people who want it to change than not. So
yeah,
we'll have to see if they do anything on that. Next up, how interested are you in the following combat rewards? And I mean, this is a silly question, because whenever you pull a combat reward or a reward in general, people are going to want it because that word reward means something good, right?
Yeah.
So
why else do you do combat?
Everything was high scoring here. High-tiered weapons with unique effects, new spells, new abilities, power armor, new prayers, everything was up there. So that question kind of doesn't have much usefulness.
I want all of those things.
Right? Everyone who was thinking without the bias hat on would want all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which of the following changes would you like to the Reaper title? Most people actually want to keep this as it is.
That surprises me.
Yeah, followed by a reduced version for comp.
Yeah, I think that should be a thing, at the very least.
Yeah, and you know, this was a plurality. It wasn't a majority. Just over 12,000 people said that they want to leave it as it is. Around 31,500 voted in this question. So when you combine remove Reaper from comp cape and trim cape, remove Reaper from comp only, or have a version of Reaper that doesn't require top-end bosses but keep Reaper on trim, when you factor all those
that
in,
I would like.
You
yeah, that
get
actually
more
like
than
better.
50%. So something will probably be changed with Reaper, I think, going forward. It's just a question of what.
Well, and as it stands now look, if you are a high-level bosser, then maybe this doesn't apply to you, but there's a lot of people that do comp that are not elite PVMers, and you leech half of your Reaper title anyway. You go there and you literally go hide in the corner while your more adept friend that can actually kill stuff goes over there and kills it.
Yeah, that's not true, Reaper. That's not true, Reaper.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's reality, though.
So, now, the next question was, do you prefer medieval or fantastical armor? Now, the fantastical armor was somewhat preferred, but medieval armor did also feature high on the list. So,
yeah, well, and didn't they screw up the question somehow with that? If, like, used the example of steel versus dragon.
Yeah, steel versus dragon. I mean, come on.
So, yeah. That skewed the thing, I believe.
And Mod Jack, who is working on the mining and smithing update, was also here for this, and he did say that with this, he'll make the Elder Rune armor that's made by players look like, and the Master Orc armor, look like medieval armor because of this.
Which I think is awesome.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. Because it's made by players, so why not, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's part of the smithing. You want to feel like you're smithing something, you know? It's like, I don't know, it's cool. We're not on some, I don't know. I like the medieval feel, I guess.
Yeah, me too.
I was going to say we're not on some, like, make-believe fantasy world, but that's exactly what we are on, so that doesn't count. But with a medieval twist, medieval feel.
Yep. All right, now on to story updates. You know, this was also surprising for me, but, I mean, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised based on this, because once again, it's talking about reward. And the top story update that people want for this is a quest point reward unlock shop. So if you have a certain amount of quest points, mm-hmm. you'd be able to unlock something. So
they give you something for your quest points. I was only surprised by one result in this whole section.
Which one?
Death of Chivalry. That was a great quest, yep. And I cannot believe people don't want to see what happens next.
I agree.
Like, it wasn't super hard. It wasn't annoying. Like, it was voiced. Like, that shocked me.
You know, if I had to take a guess on this, it would be because, you know, it's a six-age quest, but it's also part of the Temple Knight series. And I think whenever you think of Sir Owen and the Temple Knights, you think of that first recruitment drive quest. And that was difficult for people.
So, yeah, I guess that's... But, I mean, there wasn't any requirements for place Black Knights, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But also on this list, the God Sagas, which, I'm not entirely sure what those would be. Those would be more like mini quests, I'd imagine. The Wise Old Man quest, written with the help of Mod Ash, which, I mean, is, I think, would be, you know, just a good walk down memory lane, even though we already had the Wise Old Man swan song, apparently. Number four was the Gnome Finale, which would be good to get off the back of the questing team, because, we've been finishing the pirate one, let's finish the gnome one, and then we can move forward. So I think that's definitely there and good. Slayer Master's Origin Quest. Okay.
I'm interested to see how are we going to since half of
which?
Spoiler alert.
Oh, Slayer since, Master. No, since half of them are dead?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Dragon Rider Quest was also up there. Jagex said they should have put this in as a Dragonkin quest because they would inevitably be related, and that would have changed the result on this, I think. And I agree with that. Desert Treasure 2 is there as well as the Desert Quest finale, which makes sense because everyone loves Desert Treasure for the Zaros immersion that it brought in. And the Desert Quest finale after the Menaphos quest. We'll just leave it at that. Boss quests and a new Slayer quest, like Vampire Slayer or Demon Slayer or Dragon Slayer. So some kind of Slayer quest where you have to go kill something was at number 10. Now, when it comes to the way people orient themselves in the games community here, 55% of people feel that they enjoy quests.
Yeah.
And along with this, 15% consider themselves questers. So that's good. I mean,
that surprised me, because like I knew the 15%, like that didn't surprise me at all. I knew that was, but the 55%, like I usually hear people griping about quests. Like, I was kind of surprised.
And once again, that's the strong vocal minority.
Yeah.
So, all right. Bottom 12 story updates now. Top to bottom. So, quest list and journal rework. Random event quest. So these are getting worse as we go.
Boo.
Monkey Madness 2.
Boo.
Underground Pass 2. I was disappointed with that one not being there. I like Underground Pass.
No, I think this is the most accurate the community was.
Menaphos quest improvements. Lost Grove quest. Death of Chivalry 2. And, you know, Jagex said this is one of their most played quests and was very well played. Ernest the Longsword. They said the sense we're getting from this is that players don't want humor. Narrative-oriented raids. I think raids put people off that because I don't know what that would be. Broken Home 2. They said there could have
terrible.
There could have been a Zaros tie in.
They're like, we're surprised. Really? You're really surprised?
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Rework to Salt in the Wound. And the last one, drum roll, please. One Small Favor 2. And Sirion puts a little sad face in his notes here.
Thank God. And the only one I wish Elemental Workshop should have been on there.
No. I will jump up and down if the unannounced quest for May is Elemental Workshop 5.
Oh, I'm sure you would, but let's hope not, because it should have been on this list. I don't think it was an option. It's annoying. Really annoying.
Their main takeaway from this is that people don't get interested in quests based on title alone. Next up, how important is lore and story? 15% is the reason they play. 40% it's important. And this matches up to who is a quester and how many people enjoy quests largely. So that makes sense. Mm-hmm. How important are new graphics and lavish new areas in quests? This was a bell curve kind of graph, but skewed towards would be nice, not being absolutely required. No, I don't want any of that falling off to the sides. So if it makes sense for the quest, do it, but it just would be nice to have. Mm-hmm. Is it important to have unique gameplay in quest? And this is a bell curve, though narrower than before, and skews slightly towards nice, but not super important. So that effectively means that you could put in a bottle quest like we had with Evil Dave, and people would be fine with it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I'd much rather see the resource going out of a one-and-done thing.
Okay. How important is it to have combat in quests? A very steep bell curve with this one for only if it makes sense for the story. So as in don't just put combat in for the sake of putting combat in. So
yeah, that makes sense.
That's good. Would you like stories in non-quest updates is also there as well, as that, you know, some updates should include story if acceptable. And second is all updates should include story in some way. That's what I voted for, but I'm not everyone. Now, in order of preference, how do you like to experience story? Here's something else that really confounded Jagex here. Number one, gameplay. So they have no idea what this means, or what people might have been thinking. Personally, for me, this is solving a puzzle. This is looking at murals and finding some kind of inscription on them. This is putting random items together and learning something about a character, as we did with Wilson last week. So that's what gameplay is to me.
So people voted for the most frustrating parts of RuneScape.
Well, and see, you're not a quester. But to me, the things I just listed, you know, looking at areas, looking for inscriptions in a mural, for example, or smushing random items together, or, you know, doing a puzzle and learning something after completing the puzzle, key point here being Morning's End Part 2, that is part of the story of some of the biggest quests in RuneScape. And that is why I love Elemental Workshop.
Well, what story is it telling?
We don't know yet, and that's what makes it so interesting.
Tell us how it gives me a headache on
and that's,
one with a slider.
And that's why I like it. Though I do also like reading about parallel universes and such as well.
Yeah, I mean, I like the story. I don't know. I'm probably biased because I don't like puzzles at all, and I don't like looking for stuff, and it trips me up, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah. Number two was dialogue. Number three, cutscenes. Number four, graphics. Number five, item object names and examines. Number six, lore books. Jagex was happy about this being here because the lore books are really cheap to do. And at the very bottom, reading the wiki, RuneScape website content, and dead last RuneScape novels.
And notice that we didn't even have an option for listening.
Yeah, and they talked about this in stream that, why wasn't voice acting on here? And voice acting ultimately wasn't on here because it is expensive and it means that dialogue and whatnot needs to be finished 3 months before the quest is finished. Whereas if you end up having a lore problem or something that needs to be changed in the narrative of the quest without voiceover, they can just go in and change it very easily. So that's their reason for not doing that. And, we knew that before, but it would have been nice to have some kind of speaking nature here for Tanis. So,
yeah, something. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to move on to top area and world updates. These surprised me. These ones did, actually, believe it or not. And I'll tell you why here. We'll just go through them on this list right now here. So if we're looking at this, let's just have a look. Number one, exploring the wilderness after the explosion. They say this would include a time travel element, but it won't be a big issue. Number two, mysterious content. Number three, demon homeworld. Number four, avian sea homeworld. Number five, reclaiming barren parts of the wilderness. Number six, icing homeworld. Number seven, exploring the abyss. I put that one really high when I voted. Number eight, fossil island. Number nine, giant's homeworld. Number 10, Daemonheim spills onto the surface. Number 11, Skull, Eastern Lands 2. Number 12, Zaya in the Sixth Age. Number 13, Sea Monsters Attack. And number 14, Dungeoneering Floor 61.
I think it's kind of funny. Dungeoneering's dead last.
Yep. And, what's also funny is that the updates old school has are definitely in the lower echelon. Zaya and Fossil Island.
Yeah, and I'm actually kind of surprised that the wildy ones are as high as they are, because I wouldn't have expected that.
I think the wilderness one comes from the fact that people want to see what the Second Age was like before, the world as we know it effectively formed with Zaros and the fall of his empire.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And I think that's why that's number one. Mysterious content, and I think people want that because when the Ark came out, we were told that we would get these mysterious islands that would be different for each of us and that it would be kind of an exploratory thing, though it turned out to be just a resource gathering area that is tailored to us and generated randomly. So I think people still want some kind of exploration theme because we haven't had huge new areas added since, Relica and the hunting area up north as well. So I can see why that's there. And then, Demon Homeworld, Avian Sea Homeworld, Icene Homeworld, all those things come from various quests in the past. I think the Avian Seas would be really interesting as well as the Icene from a lore perspective. Demons, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised that Fossil Island and Zaya from the old school list were at the very bottom of this list here.
Well, we're just different people.
Yeah.
Kind of outgrown each other.
Yeah. And Dungeoneering Floor 61.
Yeah, because we don't want... Mm-mm.
Why not? Why ain't that wanted?
Because we might have to do Dungeoneering.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Next up was about events, and which of the following events do you enjoy? No surprise, number one was double XP weekends. This was very far out in front. Number two was holiday events, Christmas, Easter, Halloween. We love those. And number three, surprise, GIX, was world events.
Yeah, and part of that, we haven't had one for so long. Like, it's been a while since Tuska, right?
Yeah. And that one was, you know, one way or the other. You liked it or you didn't. Number four was winter weekends, and Jagex was happy about this because winter weekends on their own are a very cheap thing for them to do because it's effectively, you know, cordoned off double XP weekends. Crater events were number five, which, I mean, it's okay. That's beach, fair. Oktoberfest. Now at the very bottom, and, you know, you can kind of expect this. Number 11 was bingo card events. Number 2 was road trips. Number 9 was currency events. And number 8 was raffles, which are all those things that Jagex has been running oh so frequently at the tail end of last year, at the beginning of this year. So
I'm surprised the raffles wasn't a little bit better because that doesn't remind anything of you.
And I mean, there's a chance to win something, right? So
yeah.
All right. Now, on to new events here. They talked about what do you like the sound of in terms of these new events. Number one was monthly winter weekends, about half the people who answered. So basically every month there would be, you know, a specific weekend that would be plucked from the winter weekends kind of thing, or maybe even different. Lots of people want these, so it's safe to say that they could be doing something like that this summer. Number two was customized your weapon at the start of the event. You start with a weapon that changes appearance as you use it. Number three was dedication events. Get increasing XP multipliers if you dedicate yourself to one training method. Number four was drop events. You gain multipliers for drops. Yeah, I don't think we want that. Number five was item bingo cards. Number seven was opt-in, save PvP events. And number seven, the last, was time-limited bosses. So not too much surprise there, I don't think.
No, I agree with most of that.
Yeah. Now, which are essential for holiday events? Number one, seasonal cosmetics. Number two, access to holiday events and their rewards. Number three, discontinued items that will never come back. Number four, quest-like story content. Number five, repeatable skilling. Number six, social elements. Number seven, a new emote. Number eight, a hub area. Number 9, new music tracks. Number 10, combat encounters. And number 11, episodic content. I think seasonal cosmetic items and older holiday events and their rewards are a no-brainer. But when this was being talked about on the stream, Jagex said the Christmas 2016 event, where we effectively went to replay old Christmas events, was one of their lowest engagement ones ever.
Yeah.
And,
well,
you know, that was surprising to me, but I mean, people say they want it, but obviously they don't based on their metrics.
Yeah. I don't know.
And, you know, from that, I don't know what to do with it.
Well, I think it's one of those things, too, where people, I think they thought that we were going to be able to get the discontinued items, but then you got the other half saying, nope, that's important to have discontinued items that you can't get again. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, my sense from this.
I am happy to see the episodes. Oh, sorry.
My sense from this is that they should leave their holiday event stuff to their own team and not pull it. Though, I think, you know, once again, I'll just state it again. I think there definitely should have been an Easter-themed event this year.
I think, yeah, it should be with the team that doing those. Okay. I mean, not having Easter doesn't break my heart. I am glad to see that the episodic one is down at the bottom because I'm not a big fan of that myself.
Yeah, definitely. Almost near the end here. So top miscellaneous updates, world map optimization, a dedicated month of ninja fixes. That was a surprise to Jagex. And
I don't know why.
See,
I had it high on my list.
I didn't, because I feel that ninja fixes are something that should come without questions asked, and they should just be a part of every week's update. like we had this week with deep sea fishing and the like.
I mean, they should in an ideal world, but sometimes I just want them to. I think it's just because they can have such a huge impact. Like a little fix can make a huge difference. And so, I don't know. There's, you know, and that when we still have a pretty decent backlog of stuff that could be fixed and brought new, you know, made modern.
Yeah. The interface redesign came in at number 9, the pet park at number 10. Another construction room update kind of thing. Prestiging was number 12. It wasn't dead last. So that's, you know, siphoning XP off.
There's hope.
There's hope. There's hope. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year.
So, and, you know, the top overall updates, you know, factoring everything in on the survey when people were asked for it. We have here the... You got a guess for this? I mean, the players probably already know, but it was master skill cape perks and improving 99 skill cape perks.
Okay.
That's the top overall update. Weapon diversity came in second. Third was the quest point shop. Four was the farming updated with raising animals. Number 5 was exploring the wilderness before the wilderness explosion. So those were the top 5. Agility overhaul is there at number 7. Abyssal monsters came in at 11. Players as Slayer Master was way down at number 13. Abana, the Avian Sea homeworld, was 15. And overall updates, the last one on this list was the gnome finale. But as you see, when you look at it from a quest lens, the gnome finale is important. But if you were to do one thing over another, the gnome finale would not be high on that list.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. The two quests, Gnome Finale and Wise Old Manor, down at the dead bottom here.
Especially when 55% says that they're in the quest.
Yeah, definitely.
Like them. So, I mean,
they're going to have to come higher than this on the list, you know?
Yeah, there's... Well, I just feel like there's...
You feel like there's survey much you cut out there?
Yeah, I don't... I don't know how they're really going to make heads and tails out of this, to tell you the truth, because I can't.
Okay.
And some things make sense and some things don't.
Yeah. And
definitely. Some things just seem completely contradictory to each other. Like in one section, it says one thing, and another section, it'll say this complete opposite.
Yeah. Now, they are going to be wanting to do a survey more regularly than this, perhaps not monthly. And they're going to be doing a blog post of clarification on updates and updates they want to pull that's going to be coming next week. And they've been broken into small, medium, and large updates. So we're going to be getting polls on these. So we're not going to discuss too much of these right now because we'll be discussing them in the coming weeks. But some examples of small updates would be elite summoning familiars with rare pouches with extra bonuses, faster Menaphos reputation times 2 across the board, Gilinor games activity, and a Pyramid Plunder hard mode. Those are some small updates that could get pulled. Medium updates could include a new alternate divination training method, Garden of Tranquility 2, making Varrock attractive, another quest. Invention golems gathering daily items for you, such as flax, stabs, and other things. New aquarium fish from the waterfall, dungeoneering, or deep sea fishing. A player-owned armory could also be an option in a medium update. You know, skill cape quests requiring level 99 and a certain skill, as well as improved skill cape and perk choice being a reward.
Okay.
And larger updates could be an Araxor quest, the Aura rework. So bring down prices and gain currency from logging in for these auras. I don't think we need to do that.
No.
A clan boss, guild overhaul, make them relevant. Yes, please. Karamjin Temple would be pyramid plunder for woodcutting. And a player-owned town, be a mayor and unlock characters.
Ooh, I want that.
Yeah, and also on this list, the Virago origin quest. So there's definitely some construction stuff sprinkled in along the way here. It's just not the way we expect it.
Can you imagine making questers have to do a Rax?
It would be an origin story. So, it would be an origin story, but I and with that, I don't think they would put too much into it. Yeah. Anyway. So that's the 2018 content survey results. We're going to move on to the month ahead for April now. We got this on Thursday because it's Good Friday mainly. So
yeah.
What do you think in the month ahead? We're going to have the return of line fire making, a high XP or high intensity fire making training method.
I hate that. I so hate it. And this is from someone that likes high intensity. Like, I like to have the diversity in the skill. I just wrote about it. It's something that we need, that I like. But line fire making, clutters up the world. It sucks. Like, I know maybe it's more nostalgic for people that are older players, but I just think it looks ugly. It clutters things. It just...
Well, let's see how it turns out first, I think.
Yeah, let's hope. But it's like every walkway is going to have nothing but lines of fire make.
For a few days, then it'll calm down. I did see a gas can.
Well, because that belongs in a... Yeah, okay.
So, anyways, also this month, safe cracking. It was announced at RuneFest and was shown in the concept stage.
That's cool.
Yes, that's going to be very neat for theming. Going to be a very good theming update. So
that's cool. I'm telling you, Shane. If there's fires everywhere, I'm switching it to tribal costume because I'm going to be walking on coals everywhere I go in RuneScape.
Oh, that's great. All right. Also got Rebuilding Edgeville, which was unfinished business, and this is what people wanted after Ritual of the Majorat. So basically, you'll be cleaning up the river, fixing buildings, and sweeping up the odd dead body. It'll reward farming, construction, magic, prayer, and mining XP.
The odd dead body. Wouldn't it be a skeleton by now?
Yes, it would. Yeah. You also have a chance to get a Dragonkin lamp and unlock the chance of owning Effie, the floating effigy pet, for whenever you open Dragonkin lamps.
Yeah, I am excited for that. It's a long time coming.
Yeah, I remember ancient effigies used to be a primary training method. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Can you assist? Can you assist? Can you assist me? Uh-huh.
Yep. Tool belt improvements, combat academy improvements, ninja fixes, and surveys. Tool belts getting a makeover. Combat academy will be teaching for Revolution, and they're going to be doing the next ninja survey poll, which we just talked about. So should be a fun April. And, you know, for a while when this came out, I thought that the line fire making was an April Fool's joke.
No, they talked about it during the other stream. Had mentioned it.
Yeah. All right.
I wish.
Well, I'm going to move us on to questions then right now. We only have one question this week.
Right.
It's a discussion question from Wiley. And Wiley says, how do you guys feel about the mods acknowledging on stream that the PVM complainers were a vocal minority? And I don't think he was definitely talking about the PVM community.
No, I don't either. Mm-hmm.
And how do you think this will affect the way that Jagex reacts to the minority in the future? And lastly, how difficult do you believe a siege on Falador would be? Thank you for the show.
All right. Let me take the first whack. I think that he was talking about a certain group on a certain platform. It wasn't just a PVM community. We don't name it around here. And they did acknowledge that they listen to a vocal minority.
Yep. And we knew that.
So,
we knew that from the very beginning.
Yep. And we've been saying that, you know, for a long time.
And
then what was the other part? The Falador?
Yeah, Falador Siege.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'm down.
And you know, we kind of did it before when the Black Knights invaded, when Falador got its graphical update. So,
yeah,
definitely there, and is possible. I think though, there is certain levels of White Knight magic in place that is protecting it. When it comes to the vocal minority, for me, I think it's good that they acknowledge this. And, you know, the number one way of getting a good data set is to realize that even if you're trying not to be biased, you're going to be biased.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to look at the questions they were asking. They even admitted some of the questions on the survey produced an accurate result based on the way the questions were written. I think it was one of the skilling questions it might have been. So, yeah. You know, this just goes back to what we have been saying all along, and it goes back to what I said when it comes down to how you want to build the next skill out. If we know we're listening at Jagex to the vocal minority too much, well, then you just got to tune that down a bit, and at the same time, you got to move outwards and realize that, you know, at this point in time, you have a number of updates under your belt that are incredibly well done. You have the Clue Scroll overhaul. You have deep sea fishing. You have Pieces of Hate. These are three updates that have come out in the last month of 2018 that are largely successful.
Yeah.
And, you know, the mining and smithing beta, that's also on that run as well as being largely successful. The Aura Bag in February.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we open the year with a rather innocuous Slayer creature update, but all the updates I have just listed have been, in general, successes for Jagex.
Mm-hmm. And at the very least, the little ones haven't been bad. Like the smaller updates, I can't say there's been a bad update.
Yeah, the worst thing this year has been the bank rework taster and what that did for the current bank interface.
Yeah.
And that's mainly from the perspective that Sirion and I were looking at it, and that's right. Not from the player perspective. So, with that being said, you have these wins. You use those wins, and you need to create a public storm of... You want to create positive controversy, I want to say. You want to create a storm where you are reminding players that you just had all these updates and that we did these things. You guys told us to do these things and we brought them out without, you know, too much of a hitch. And because of that, and, you know, I think of deep sea fishing because that had very little player input along the way, right?
You got to learn to brag.
Exactly.
You know, it's all about the messaging. Brag about what you do.
Right. Well. And, you know, what I would do in this situation if I were Jagex is I would have maybe a biweekly video feature that is Mod Osborne, Mod Mark, and, you know, maybe someone's update from that month and talking just about in a short little fire session, you know, maybe 5 to 10 minutes long, maybe even closer to five. You just talk about how well the update has been received and why players like it. And by doing that, you, in effect, make the messaging, like you said, Tanis, be one of positivity and positive change for those updates that came out. And in doing that, that gets the players to trust more, and that gets you the license to make surprise updates and not listen to the vocal minority anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And, I mean, The formula for this is the podcast right here. We talked about the various successes that we had with the mining and smithing beta, deep sea fishing, and the Clue Scroll overhaul. I would have loved to add Mod Jack on for the mining and smithing beta, whoever did the Clue Scroll update, and Mod Ryan, I believe, for the deep sea fishing update. So, mm-hmm. And you know, you just talk about their successes and why it's an important update, and you sell that to players.
Yeah, for sure. And there's going to be, I mean, there's more opportunity to come this year, especially with mining and smithing.
Absolutely. Definitely. All right. Thank you, Wiley. Moving on to tech news this week. That was nice and quick. But first, if you guys want to send your own questions in, you can do that. You can email them to questions@rsbnb.com. You can also leave us a text message or voicemail at our phone number, which is 571-57-BNB or 571-572-2632. We're also on Twitter at RSBNB, where you can DM us or give us an at mention, and we'll include your questions in the show. So we look forward to hearing from you guys. Okay, you ready for tech news?
Yeah, let's hear some tech news.
So this week we got happier tech news for the most part than we did last
week. Yay! We need some happy tech.
This week, Apple released iOS 11.3, and that is the much-anticipated update with the new battery management control panel. So you remember that last year people's iPhones people started realizing that, hey, our iPhones aren't performing the way they were in the past, and there might be something going on. And then engineers found in the code that, oh, we actually have a issue here where we're throttling down the CPU speed based on battery, and Apple decided that, hey, we need to be completely transparent about this. So that's what this update brings, and this is the biggest part of this update. So if you're an iOS user and you go to your settings app and then you go to the battery subsection, you'll find a new area called battery health. And this will show the maximum capacity for your battery in terms of what's expected versus what it's actually getting. Now, you can't really do anything with the battery capacity part, but it'll say what your peak performance capability is. And if everything's running fine, it'll say your battery is currently supporting normal peak performance. But if it's not, it'll say that your battery performance has been degraded, and it will give you an option by clicking on what looks like a hyperlink there to disable that throttling. And it'll give you a warning if you do that, that, you know, you might end up having sporadic resets of your device if it is being affected by that. So this is something that people have wanted for a long, long time here. And it's about time that it's been included. And I just checked my battery of my iPhone 8, and it's operating at 100% maximum capacity. I don't know if you put 11.3 on yours yet.
I have not, no.
Yeah, but this can be something everyone should check when they start up their iPhones after the update. The update also includes new Animoji for iPhone 10 users, further work in the augmented reality realm, and some iPad fixes for the new iPad that was released, which we'll talk about next. So,
cool.
11.3 is here, and people should be up to date on what's happening with their Apple iPhone batteries. So, and you know, I'm just looking at the screenshot The Verge has here of the three iPhones, the 8 Plus, the 10, and the 8 here. I had no idea that the iPhone 8 Plus was that big, or the Plus was that big.
Next to the
10 and the 6. And, you know, I've largely adapted to it, and I actually like the size. It's just so much easier to read things on it.
Yeah, I love the – I mean, I have an older one. I have a Plus, but I love it. Love my phone.
Yeah. All right. So this week, Apple had a event in Chicago that was geared towards students and teachers. And, you know, they don't normally have student and teachers events, but there's some big news to come out of this. And that was that Apple is releasing a new iPad with its traditional 9.7-inch display that's going to start at $299 US for schools and $329 for consumers. This is Apple's cheapest iPad, full-sized iPad, that they have ever produced. The new iPad has an A10 chip in it, which is a slightly less powerful version than the one in the current iPad Pro. But the biggest news about this is that it supports the Apple Pencil, which is expected to bring it further into the education market with this. The new iPad starts with 32 gigs of flash storage, and to really go on their attempt to bring Apple back to the education market, because you'll remember in the 80s and 90s, Apple was all throughout the schools. They were everywhere in the schools. And what Apple is doing is they are giving every student and teacher in a K-12 that is registered with a school 200 gigabytes of free iCloud storage. 200 gigs of free iCloud storage. The standard is only 5 gigabytes. So as you can see here, Apple is opening up the doors and effectively saying to schools, buy iPads and you get this free storage. Your students can use them and they can store everything up in our cloud and effectively have all this for free. And, you know, I think that this is going to be a very competitive option with the back to school stuff that's going to start coming this July and August, definitely. Because when you get down to the 329 territory, you're competing with Chromebooks at this point.
Yeah, it actually makes an iPad maybe even, you know, it makes it a lot more plausible. To, you know, it's more reachable.
Yeah,
at $329.
The cheapest iPad before, I believe, was $499.
Yeah, they're super expensive.
And I mean, you're competing with Chromebooks, and Chromebooks are designed to be cheap. But you know, I think we're at a point now where when you're looking at this, the iPad is going to be a serious option for people going to school. And not just universities, but in K-12 as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think, at least I hope that we're looking, going towards this direction, but I think we're going to be dealing with more digital books as well. So that 200 gigs of storage could be great. Because you could have your iPad with all of your books, and then you don't have to have this huge book bag with you and all this stuff. And, you know, it's just more modernization.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I mean, you look at the stats on these. You compare the iPad to the iPad Pro, and the only thing you're missing is that little extra oomph and the display that the Pro has. That's really the only difference with this, that between the Pro and the non-Pro version of it. So,
but can you play RS Mobile? That is what we need to know, so that the next generation of kids can screw off in school and play RS.
Oh, probably. That's really great. I am pleased with this update, and I'd be interested to look at the numbers come September or October and see who went Chromebook and who went iPad, because the Samsung Chromebook Pro is $469.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what would be the advantage on the Chromebook at that point?
Precisely.
Huh. All right. Cool.
Yeah. So lots of choices.
Man, now I'm going to have to decide between a Switch and an iPad.
Or another way of looking at it is if people are going to school, and you got to remember that for the higher level math classes, they ask for graphing calculators that are upwards of $150 a pop.
That's true.
I mean, yeah. When you get the iPad down to less than half the price of a graphing calculator, that's saying something.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, if the math departments in these schools would be forward looking, they could replace their graphing calculators with iPad apps.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, I should do that. I just realized I don't have a good graphing calculator on my phone. I still have my old trusty TI-83 Plus that I pull out when something complicated is needed, like a matrix.
Why don't you write one of those up, Shane? Make $1 million.
I think there's better things to do with my time than write a calculator. Oh. So, all right. And our third piece of tech news, yes, we are going on the Apple focus this week, is a piece from Bloomberg talking about Apple's compliance with the new privacy laws in the European Union. So there's about 55 days left that Apple and other companies have to comply with the new EU privacy laws that allow users and mandate users be able to access all the data that a company has on them and delete it without questions asked. And, you know, it's quite the time for this to be talked about by Apple, because, you know, it's just this week and last week that we were talking about Facebook and Cambridge Analytica and the whole hashtag delete Facebook scandal. And all of the stuff coming up with Facebook. You and I were talking about this pre-show how, you know, if you have Facebook Messenger and you're on Android and you synced it up to your address book, well, Facebook is monitoring your calls, who you're talking to, how long you're talking to them with. So Apple used this opportunity and a very clever PR move today to announce that they're revamping their entire privacy controls for their devices and cloud services that allow them to comply with this new European law. And, you know, this is also largely what iOS 11.3 is for. So what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to delete your Apple account entirely. You're also going to be able to see all the data that Apple has on you. And if you want, you're going to be able to download it as well. So this is, I think, a hallmark of privacy. This is what all companies should be doing. Yes, Facebook has this, though, as it is right now, apparently, if you look on Facebook, I say apparently because I don't use it personally, is that you need to go through a number of pages to find all the various settings for privacy and whatnot. Whereas Apple is rolling this all into one very convenient dashboard for this. So,
yeah, well, Facebook makes it as hard as possible because your information.
Yeah, they want to buy that information and use it to make a buck off you. And Apple has said that, you know, they never wanted to do that, and they don't like making money off their users. They say, we make money selling our hardware. Well, companies like Google and Facebook rely on user data to make money. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens when this launches, even for the rest of us who aren't in the EU here, because what ends up happening at the end of the day is that everyone benefits. So it's going to be very nice to have this and see what Apple has on everyone. So it'd be also nice with this if in this batch included all your iMessages too. That would be good as a form of backup, you know. But
gosh, boy, that's scary.
Yeah, right.
And they know all of that too. Jeez.
So this will go into effect May 25th in the EU, but it is now something that Apple is going to be launching very soon, and iOS 11.3 laid the groundwork for it. So very nice. All right. Time for some other things, I believe. Our March Skill of the Month update had a bit of an uptick here, surprisingly, at the end. You know, Sorensen 57 was in dead last for the Summoning Skill of the Month, but he just blew past everyone on the 25th and has now surged into first place with 4.5 million Summoning XP gained. Second place is now Parnassius with 2 million XP, and third place is GemAndy52 with 171k XP gain. So that's summoning for March. I have lots of faith in Parnassius, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to jump forward and secure the lead here.
Yeah, at this point, might be a big lead.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Do we know what April's is going to be?
Fletching,
okay. All right.
So not as hard as summoning, but still something you need to sink a bit of money into.
Yep.
All right. So we got some achievements this week. I'll just run through these quickly. Not too many of them compared to previous weeks. We got iDefend with 99 cooking on March 28th. Wiley with 99 crafting on the 28th. Parnassius also sent us a note to note his completionist cape on the 28th as well. JBA with 120 dungeoneering on the 28th as well. Yeah. Cena ATN with 99 fishing on the 27th. Row of Snow with 99 thieving on the 27th. Touchpad Pro got 200 million woodcutting experience on the 26th. I'm not sure what's bigger, that or comp.
They're both. Very worthy achievement.
Definitely,
really cool.
Definitely. 1234 were cool. Got 99 magic on the 25th. Zephyr Thief with 99 Smithing on the 23rd, and an old name from years past at RSBNB, welcome back, Marco995 got 99 Farming. Congratulations.
Awesome.
All right. So, pick of the week time. You know,
do you have a pick for us?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's something that I think in this world, especially if you do podcasting like I do, is a necessary evil. And that is to be active on social media. And one of those social medias is Twitter. Now,
yeah.
You know, there's numerous Twitter clients. There used to be a Twitter for Mac client, but Apple killed it. But there is also one for iOS, and that's the main pick of the week here, and that's Twitterific for iOS, because I don't know about you guys, but if you guys look at the default Twitter app that Twitter provides for iOS, it's nice, it looks nice, it works well, but it suffers from the algorithm that Twitter puts on to try and present you with tweets that you may have missed since you last opened the app. That's fine and dandy. Some people like me, though, don't want that. They also thread in a lot of promoted tweets, which is also annoying. So the pick of the week here is Twitterific. It's a free Twitter app. And I say that with pause because there are other Twitter apps out there like Tweetbot, which are $5. And I personally don't feel like paying for a Twitter app for iOS for me. I don't think that's something I want to do. So that's why the pick of the week is Twitterific. And I've effectively moved to this on iOS. And the reasons I've moved to it include the fact that it supports multiple accounts. It also supports 3D touch. That's a feature of iOS where if you press extra hard on the screen, you effectively get a right-click context menu. And it also has an Apple Watch app. So that's why I'm using Twitterific now instead of the default Twitter app, mainly because it just cuts down on the noise that the regular Twitter app has, mainly the noise in the extra promoted tweets and whatnot. And I'm not a fan of that. I'm really not. So that's why that's why I decided to use this as pick of the week, because you can just effectively get a Twitter client, and you know there are no promoted tweets in it, and you just get your following, your people you follow, and you can sort through it as you desire to. So that's the pick of the week, and it also works with the modern iPhones who have 3D touch, so you can press down on a tweet and get extra actions for it. So that's the pick of the week. Twitterific for iOS. All right. What have you been up to this week on RS?
Been enjoying those deep sea fishing update.
Yeah, they're definitely cool. Something, aren't they?
All right. Yeah, so I've been doing that. Been doing that most of the week.
All right.
That's about it. Yeah. A little bit of fair, but not a lot.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, you see what I did there? Fair enough. Spring fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as for me this week, I have largely been doing divination energy gathering and making divine charges and selling those off. Excellent money with that.
Still good.
Yeah, very good. I have a couple of clue scrolls that have actually been piling up. I didn't know at the time that I could get these clue scrolls from divination, but I seem to get about one an hour.
Yep. Do you have your
Luck of the Dwarves? No, I don't actually have that equipment.
Yeah, that will increase them as well.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I didn't have it on because I was doing a farming run before I went there, so I had my cabbage ring on. So,
okay.
Yeah. But I believe that's about it for this episode of Update. I don't think there's anything else for us to talk about.
No, I think we've covered everything.
Alrighty then.
Thoroughly.
Well, with that being said, we'll see you next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. If you want to catch up with us in the meantime, you can find us in-game at Friends Chat Bits Bytes. Remember to favorite our Friends Chat. And every Monday, the Weekly Byte appears on YouTube, youtube.com/RSBNB, where we give a brief rundown of the week's updates and the important patch notes. We'll see you then, everyone. Have a good weekend.
See ya.